Why don't we begin with a word of prayer and thanksgiving? And if it's too cool, Val, if you can just swing that door closed and, you know. Okay. All right. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our time in the Word today. We bless your name for having woken us up this morning and given us a grand opportunity to come and worship. Father, we commune with you as friend with friend. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins, calling us in the body of Christ, and restoring us into fellowship with you. We thank you for keeping us last night. You are so gracious on our behalf. We cannot thank you enough for all that you've done for us and what you would do for us in the future. Our Father, we dedicate this time to you, our time of worship and praise and adoration, for giving your Son for our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can see in your outline in front of you a very unique introduction to today's message. And down at the bottom of the outline, it kind of like explains to you what I want you to do with this message for the rest of today. It's very important that you do that. I've had to do it, and I think that we can really have an exciting time as we look at Psalm chapter 37, verses 1 through 16. Maybe the sermon this morning is Social Security. Now, we know what Social Security really is. Social Security is what we work for. You know, you go to that job, and they take out taxes for Social Security, so that when you're 65 and above, when you retire, you have a pretty little nest egg I'll settle up for you. That's why you pay Social Security taxes. You know, you're looking forward to a time and you don't have to get up and go to work anymore when you're all old and gray-headed and nobody wants to care for you. Well, that's all right. You've got that monthly check coming in, and that monthly check's going to take care of everything, your food, your lodging, and everything else. This is the way it was supposed to be. Some 23 years ago, when Lucy and I bought this house, I think our house note was only something like $174 a month. And so the way we had to figure it out is if we had a 30-year loan at that and didn't take out a second or a third on it, by the time we retired and got to be about 55, 60 years old, the house would be paid for, everything would be cool, I'd still be working, putting money in the bank, and going on like that. But, you know, it never works out that way. You know, God has a way of changing things. But what we do in terms of Social Security, we're kind of looking out for ourselves. Nowadays, you find these young entrepreneurs, they say, I'm going to work till I'm about 40 years old, and then I'm going to have a nice nest egg set aside, and I'm going to be able to retire for the rest of my life. I won't have to work anymore. My security is going to be in me maybe going on that job, slipping and hurting my back, and taking everything I can from the man. You know, as a matter of fact, that's what a guy told me. He said, you know, that's what minority peoples are doing now. They're going around getting cracked on the job so they can get some money and take care of themselves. But you know what? There's a tremendous danger in that. Nobody else will hire you. You become a deficit. It doesn't work. And that, the $30,000 or $40,000 or maybe $100,000 is not going to last you for all your life. And so it's Social Security is what most folk are looking for. So we're going to have some insights for saints this morning during a time in life as we give a higher reflection as we look at the 37 Psalms. During these times we live in, we need to maintain a constant determination as we pose for the pictures of daily life. You know, we want to pose for the picture of a successful entrepreneur that did the work right, and when we end it up, everything's going to be taken care of. Not so, not so, not so. If you don't take care of your Social Security right in this life, you find that you have to find another means to provide some security. What are some of the benefits of Social Security before we get into our outline? Well, one of the benefits of Social Security is a jammin' retirement plan. See, when your security is paid up in the natural sense, you have a jammin' retirement plan. You say, you know, I'll be able to go travel. I'll be able to do what I've always wanted to do. I've worked. I've invested. I've done it right. It works for me. Another benefit would be hotel reservations with the best accommodations and travel expenses paid. That's what Social Security promises you. You know, we'll be able to take a sea cruise. We'll be able to go here. The children are grown and up and out of the way. We don't have to care for them anymore. Everything is tight. Now it's our time. It's our turn to live and to kind of reap the benefits of this social strata that we've invested in. Believe it or not, that's what everybody is promising in the American dream. But it's not necessarily that way in God's sight. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at Psalm 37, and we're going to compare our true Social Security to the Social Security that folk in the world is striving for. Another benefit is that the resort facilities are literally out of this world. Now, for the Christian, if your Social Security is the right kind of Social Security, they are out of this world, because the Social Securities that we are looking for are not a security that is based upon down here, the here and now, but our true Social Security is based upon something after this life. And of course, what are the benefits of spiritual Social Security? Room service that has no need of a wake-up call, because your calendar will be fulfilled. You see, today, when you go to the hotel, you tell the guy downstairs, call my room and wake me up at 6 o'clock. The conference guys meet at 7, and I got to be up at 6 and in the shower. Well, in the Social Security that I'm aiming at, you don't have to worry about anybody to wake you up. Why? Because you're never going to sleep. That's it. You won't need a wake-up call. So the Social Security that we are aiming at in this life is completely different. So you have your outline right in front of you. We're going to begin with point number one as we begin, what not to do in order to gain Social Security. I believe that you can see it in Psalm chapter 37, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, I believe, he's saying, don't look at those that seem to have better reservations than you have. He says, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers. Now, if you're going to have the right kind of Social Security, this is what you must not do. Don't look at other people's reservations that they have set up for them in this life. You're a Christian. You cannot do that. You cannot compare your life to the life of the ungodly, because the ungodly are seeking a different kind of Social Security. They're trying to seek something that is temporal, something that is fading away. It says, do not fret. Okay, in other words, he says, don't grieve. Don't toil as you're toiling with a rival. As a Christian, you're not in rivalry. You're not in competition with the world. God has your Social Security already taken care of. You don't have to put forth the same efforts as with rivalry as the world. That's why the psalmist says, don't fret because of evildoers. He says, don't be envious. Another good word for that, envious, is don't be jealous. Don't look at their retirement plan and then compare it with yours. We are believers. We are aliens and sojourners. You're wanderers. You're drifters through. This is not our home for good. There is another home for us. Now, what God is doing is he's giving us plenty. Don't fret. In other words, don't grieve as one that is in a contest with a rival. He says, don't be envious towards wrongdoers or the unrighteous. That's what he means. Don't envy unrighteous people's lives. Don't envy what they have. I was on my way somewhere yesterday, and I was driving down the street, and this brother drives up to me. And, you know, everybody in town was getting their car washed because El Nino is gone for about a week. And so they all went to the car washes. And right up next to me was this big, beautiful, white Lincoln truck. What do they call them? The new Lincoln trucks? Navigator. Is that what they're called? And that, man, this thing had rims on it that was jamming. All the windows were clouded out. Man, and they were sitting in there, and and I was in my little 2.5-year-old, not paid for yet, Honda, and I looked at this thing, and I said, look at this truck. What a beautiful vehicle. And it was a Lincoln. Well, in the verse it says, Pastor John, what? Don't fret, don't grieve, don't toil as a rival. Don't ask yourself how come you don't have what they have. You don't know anything about those people's lives. You don't know why the windows are all fogged out. You don't know why. You don't know anything about their lives. Don't look at that. He says, don't be envious of the wrongdoer. See, and so if you really pay attention to point number one, do not what not to do in order to gain Social Security. Verse 1 says that we are not to envy those people. Life is not as it appears. when you really pay close attention to it. Once you look at life at the way it really is, God says, I have Social Security for you. Social Security is not me being in that Explorer or whatever it is, that town, whatever. Man, that big, beautiful white truck didn't have a speck of dust on it. And the first thing that I did is I looked right back out of my window, and my front window was dirty. And I was right next to him, and I said, I wonder, are they looking at me? See what I did? I compared it. That is not Social Security. Look at verse 2, because he says that it won't be long for those who forsake God and his mandate of life. Verse 2 says, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Ah, now we see something here. God is saying, Pastor John, I'm saying, what, Lord? He says, now, I told you what not to do. But now what he's doing is he's giving me a reason why. He says, when you look at the unrighteous, they're going to wither as grass. Unrighteous folk are not going to look like that at all times. When God pays us off in Social Security, in true Social Security, it's going to be the payoff that is jamming and never quits. The unrighteous are going to get a payoff for their... See, listen, Jesus put it this way. He says that the wicked people are receiving their reward now. So somebody can drive up next to me in a big jamming car, and here I am struggling to live for God and live a righteous life, and it looks like I never seem to get on top. I never seem to get on board. I never seem to get it. And God is saying, no, you can't look at it that way. Stay in the book of Psalms and go to Psalm 92 and 7 and see what the Lord says about this situation about the unrighteous. Psalm chapter 92, verse 11. I believe that it gives us an answer from God. We need to know what God says about wicked people, what their end is going to be. Psalm chapter 92, verse 7, it reads like this, and then the wicked sprouted up like grass, and all who did iniquity flourished. It was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. I believe that God puts it, he hits it right, he says, once you look at unrighteous people and it looks like they're making it, and it looks like they're going to make, he says, they only look that way, and so that God can destroy them, because what he's going to do in the end, see, look, friends, you get your Social Security in the end. You don't get Social Security in this life. You don't get it in this life. Christian, don't seek that. I heard on the news last night, a commentary was saying on cable, he said, just came across the wires here. Eddie Murphy has an apartment in Beverly Hills that he's paying something like, I think they said, $60,000 a month. And this guy said, wait a minute, here's an African-American that has done well, and he is paying $60,000 a month for rent. And the guy said, can't he do things better with his money? And he's not even staying in the joint. It is total futility. It is total futility. And I said, man, if that ain't a bummer, $60,000 a month for rent, and you're not even staying in the place. But since everybody knows it, everybody will look at Eddie and say, look at the money that he has. Eddie got his Social Security right now. That looks very impressive. But when you look at Psalm 92:7, he says God gives it to him just for a while and so that he can destroy him in the end. That's why believers have no business seeking a lifestyle like that. You have no business seeking that. You don't need to rent a place for $60,000 a month. And you're not even staying in it. You're traveling all around the world. But you can say, man, look at the picture of my apartment. I'm paying $60,000. Why couldn't he put that in the community? Open up a boys' club, a little girls' club, or some kind of, why couldn't, and he's the son of a preacher man. Well, Social Security. Look at 1 Peter 1:24. There's another scripture that talks about what God says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. This lets you know what God thinks about people that put their trust in Social Security that's wrong. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. In other words, he's saying, if your Social Security is bent on having what the world has, being what the world is, he's saying that this is what your Social Security should not be. Now let's move on down to the second part of our outline. What you must do in order to gain Social Security. That's found in verses 3 through 5. See, now I looked at in verses 1 and 2 what you must not do. Don't be envious. Don't fret. Don't be jealous of what people have around you. Don't be jealous, Robin, of their wardrobes. Don't be jealous, Robin, of their fine husbands. Don't be jealous of where they go have dinner, Ralph. Don't be jealous of that stuff, because you're going to have a tendency to see people do that. Some of your friends are going to put it right up in your face. Look at what I have. Look at what I got. And then you're going to have a tendency to look at what you have. And then you're going to say, wait a minute, I'm following God, and this is all I have. These people aren't following God, and look at what they have. That's because they're seeking their Social Security right here. And God is saying, I got something else for you. So what you must do in order to gain Social Security. I believe that there is a solid charter agreement that stands and never fails for the righteous. Look at verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell on the land and cultivate faithfulness. In other words, there must be a certain confidence in the travel agent. He says, trust in the Lord. See, in your Social Security, the Lord is your travel agent. The Lord says, I got your retirement set up. I got you on the planet, and you're not thinking about me. You're thinking about you and how you're going to do it. God says, trust in, I'm your travel agent. Trust in me. Now, he says, trust in me and do good. Now, what that means, in other words, make well of the choices that you make. He says, I'm your travel agent. Well, I want to go to Europe. God may say, I don't want you to go to Europe. I want you to stay in the hood. Oh, trust in me. You see what I mean? See, it. JT said it well. What if it were me trusting in me? Man, I'm going to preach to those people. Man, I'm going to go visit Grace today. Let's take a visit day and go visit Grace. And God says, I have a word for those people that I placed under your care, because I know what those people are doing, John. Those people are just like you. That Lincoln came up next to you. You're the senior teacher. Look at the way you looked at that Lincoln, and look at the way you thought about me. What do you think the people that are not on your spiritual level are doing? He said, no, you won't go to Grace this morning. You're going to tell them, trust in me. I'm the travel agent. I got it all detailed for them. Now, how it works. Now, go to Proverbs 14:26. Let's see if we can see something that will agree with that. Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. See, if you fear God, there's where your confidence is. That's why the psalmist says, trust God. You youngsters got to know this, because when you can't trust your parents anymore, trust God. You know, my baby, I don't know, maybe she's left already, maybe she hasn't, but my baby will be flying here today. She should, Lord willing, get here at 7 o'clock this evening. Now, as she flies across the country coming here, she can't trust in that pilot that's in that jet. She better trust God that jet's going to land. Because, you see, trusting in anything or anybody else is not what it's all about. There has to be a trust in God. That's very, very important. Let me give you a secondary scripture so that you can look at this one. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, talking about trusting God. It says, cast all of your anxiety upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. That's the one that's going to pay your Social Security. You anxious about your retirement plan? You anxious about what life's going to be about next year? Cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. Look, if you don't believe this, you can flip it. Because all of us get anxious. All of us in this room get anxious. I mean, man, you just want to go off. You just want to run. Oh, tomorrow, don't you want to run away? I just feel like running, right? Man, he said, hey, cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He's the one that got your Social Security made out. Stop freaking out like the world. The world freaks out. The world doesn't know what to do. You know what to do. God has told you what to do. What are you anxious for? Give me your anxiety. Give me your care. I care for you. And the results of that is found in back in our text in verse 3b. For it says, you'll dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. If you trust in God, you begin to cultivate faithfulness. In other words, people see faithfulness in your life. They say, here's a Christian that is never anxious. Here's a man, you know what I'm going to do one of these days when I get a chance? I'm going to be with one of these brothers, and we're going to go buy a new Lincoln dealership, and we're going to go and we're going to sit in that truck. We're going to sit on that leather behind there, and I'm going to ask the salesman, can I take it around the block and drive it? I'm going to drive it and see it all, man, see how it works and everything. Then I'm going to pull it right back up on the deal, and I'm going to get out of and close it. And he says, what do you think? I said, I think it's a beautiful automobile. Thank you for the ride. And then I'm going to go and get in that Honda and start it up and drive off the lot, and the salesman is going to say, what, don't you want it? I says, no, I just wanted to ride in it. To know how it feels, because when I saw the guy riding next to me, I said, that must feel good. Sitting all up high above the people, man, leather all around you, tinted glass, forced air, and he just set the temperature, the gauge works, everything's, man, that has to be comfort for the body. And since I'm well over 50, I said, now, you know, I need something like that to take care of me. My wife was riding next to me. I said, isn't that a beautiful truck? And you know what Lucy said? I'm sorry, I'm crippled as an old lady will ever be, and how would I climb up in that stuff? She said, I need something low to the ground like we got. Oh, praise God for the Honda. Honey, stop lusting after that truck. See what I'm talking about? You got to trust in the Lord and do good. You see, I'm looking at that all high. My poor wife said, you have to lift me up with a tailgate because I can't climb up in it. Yeah, all right then, well, I got it. So, as we move on down to verse 4. I take personal delight in God and all that he intends for me. Verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. See, I don't worry about what the world is doing. You see, I can't be delighted in those things because I delight in God. I delighted in what my wife answered me. She said, how am I going to get up in the truck, man? Immediately, my mind got off that Lincoln. I said, you know, that's the truth, because I look like a fool picking her up, putting her in here. Every time we, wait a minute, honey, you can't get out. Jump on my back, because that thing is high. You know, jump on my back. All right, baby, slide down. See, but when you delight in the Lord, something happens there. See, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, the desire of my heart is not a Lincoln truck. The desires of my heart is transportation. See what I mean? That's the way it works. Easy. I know why Easy looked at me like that, but that's all right, Easy. You got your other thing. But anyhow, I'm going to leave that one alone. Let's look at verse 5. Commit your way unto the Lord. Now, this word commit in the Hebrew, you know what that means? It means wallow. Wallow in the way of God. In other words, just get down in God and wallow. You know, like when you were a kid and you were playing in the mud pile, and you wallowed in the mud pile. Wallow in God. Commit your way to God. Wallow in it. See, and that's where your Social Security comes from, because you are committed to him. And as you remain committed to him, you're wallowing in him. Now, let's talk about this a little bit, because this is very, very important. How do we do this? Well, I'm asking the question, are you willing to become secure in the arrangements for your retirement? Once you become secure in the arrangements of your retirement, in spiritual social security, you wallow in God. You just say, hey, man, look, I want what God wants. I want what God wants for me. Now, God wants some good things for you, and he wants to give them to you, but he wants you to wallow in him. Don't wallow in you. Wallow in him. And don't think that because you're a Christian that you, look, don't think that because you're a Christian that you can't drive that big Lincoln truck. Because my God, I mean, if God has given you, you know, sense and a job and money and a career and stuff like that, go ahead and get one. But man, wouldn't it be great that you can wallow in God as you drive? I mean, you know, here you are driving in the big Lincoln and you see me in the Honda and I'm all alone. You're supposed to hit your button, put your window down and say, hey, PJ, what? Park your car. Where are you going? Well, I have to go over here to Culver City and back. Park your car, man. You can ride in my Lincoln with me. I'll drive you. Now, I jump up in that sucker and I say, oh, man, this is great. I ain't making the payments. I'm just going to ride in it. Put on a CD. Let's listen to some music. Hey, let's go have lunch. Hey, let's drive down the Coast Highway. Put the top down. Yeah, right. Let me see how the seat leans back. Man, that'd be great by the time you bring me back 2 hours later, drop me off of my Honda. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the privilege of wallowing in you as I drove in his car that he got to make the payments in. See, there it is. Because I'm wallowing in God. It's not about getting it for me. God will give you the pleasure and the privilege of having some good things. So don't think that he does not want you to have that, because God is not like that. And you've got to become secure. Look at Psalm 119:38. Psalm 119:38, as we look at this wallowing in God. Psalm 119:38. This is the way it reads. I find so much in the Psalms. He says, establish thy word to thy servant as that which produces reverence for thee. In other words, when you wallow in God, he establishes word for you. The word of God determines what your attitude is about true spiritual social security as opposed to physical social security. Physical social security is that I've got to do this to make my life socially secure. I've got to do this because I don't think that God is moving fast enough. I've got to do this because if I don't do this, then I won't have what the Joneses have, and so I must keep up with the Joneses, so I must increase my loanses. Yeah, that's about the only way you keep up with the Joneses, just in keep on increasing your loanses. Now, what I do is that if the Joneses get beyond me where I am, I'm saying I hope those folk are wallowing in God. Because as that other scripture said, as you look back to the, I believe it was a Psalm 94:19, that other scripture says that if they do not wallow in God, that God's going to just give them that to take it away from them. You see, and that's what you don't want to do. See, I have 2 daughters, and I constantly tell them, I say, look, don't you forget who's given you everything. I tell them that constantly. Don't ever forget who's given you that. And I'm not talking about mommy and daddy. I'm saying all that ultimately comes from God, who is the giver of all true social security. And I'm saying once you forget who's given you everything, you're going to start living like you deserved that. And once you live like you deserve that, you cease to wallow in God. And there is an ultimate consequence for that kind of behavior. All right. Let's move on to point number 3 in our outline. We've said what not to do in order to have Social Security. Point 2, we said what you must do in order to have Social Security. Now, the recompense or the payback for making arrangements at an early date for retirement. And you can find that in verse 6. It says, and he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. In other words, what is the payback that he's going to give you which work towards your retirement? Righteousness and judgment. You may say, that's not very important dividends. Yes, it is. Because once you look at the world today, what they're working for, listen, I'm telling you, think of dear Mr. the late, great Mr. John Belushi. Money, 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 money. This guy had money, 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 money. Think of that late great comedian similar to John Belushi a couple of months ago that died in your hometown, Mark, in Chicago. Money, 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 money. But was their lives, this is it, was their life bringing forth righteousness like the light and judgment as the noonday? I doubt it. You see, we as believers, if we're going to be paid spiritual social security for the way we live, there are some recompense, there's some payback for living a righteous life. And let's talk about that a little bit. There is something that God has promised to do, and he cannot break his promise. Now, once you look at verse 6, and he says, he shall bring forth your righteousness as a light. In other words, people will see the way you live. People will see who you are. People will know what you are by the things that you strive to possess in this life. They will know that. And then secondarily, he says, judgment as the noonday. In other words, that has the idea of double light In other words, your light will be that of double light. Now, I looked for a comparative scripture that would go along with that, and I came up with Titus chapter 1, verse 2. So I'd like you to go there with me. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, as we take a look at this righteousness and judgment. For it says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. God promised you that. He can't lie. The Social Security that he has for you is there. It's set. It's fixed. God doesn't lie. He's going to pay off. He's going to pay it off. And you know what? Here's the problem that we have. You don't see the payoff because there's no veil that you can roll back and see heaven. He's not going to give you a peek like he gave Moses. He's not going to do it. With Christians, he's not going to show you himself. He's not going to appear just to show you that heaven is yours. You have to accept that by faith, strict faith in him. Another scripture that I like to share with you about this would be Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. You know, God is going to keep his promise. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. See, once God does not keep his promise, then I don't have to trust him anymore. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. He's going to pay Social Security. You don't have to worry about, and I believe Social Security in the normal sense in this country, the benefits won't pay you anything. By the time this young lady gets to be 65 and you're paying in the Social Security, I'm sorry, you ain't going to collect nothing, honey. Because, see, we're going to use that all up. See, before you become an adult, that's going to all be gone. See, and so that's the wrong kind of Social Security to look to. But God gives us a higher plateau. That which God says, and that which he wills is going to be fulfilled without delay. Stop seeking the world and seek what God has for us. Here's the problem with that statement. You can't see faith. You can't see hope. You can't see the promise. All you can see is the darkness and the dilemma of your Christian experience because you keep striving, and it seems like the more you strive, the more is set against you. All right, so God says, all right, that's the way it's going to be. Now, are you going to continue to the end? He said, I've given you the power to persevere to the end. It's up to you. Mm-hmm. Let's move on down to section number 4. The warning while waiting for a seat in first class. In other words, you're waiting on your seat in first class to receive your Social Security, eternal life, retirement. And while you're waiting on that seat in first class to open up, and that seat in first class means death or when you raptured and when you go to heaven, he said, now while you're in transit, waiting on your first class ticket, I want to give you a warning, and the warning is found in verses 7 and 8. And we're going to start with verse 7. Waiting is a difficult thing to do. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. I find it interesting that the psalmist relates that again. He says, hey, I'm telling you something, you better rest in God. Christian, you're going to have a tendency to say, hey, look, you know, Pastor John don't know what I'm going to do. Or I may say, well, you know, they don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do this. God says, you better wait. See, man, I'm working for my first class ticket in true Social Security. Okay, now he told me, he's warning me, he's telling me, don't do certain things. Look at Psalms 104:27. Let's see how serious God is about this. Psalm 104:27. I gotta wait. This is what the psalmist says. He says, they all wait for thee to give them their food in due season. In other words, all of God's children wait on God to feed them, to give them food when the season is right. Due season means it's not your time yet. You don't get Social Security yet. You know, all this stuff, hey man, I want mine now. That's why when you go to these churches and these people are naming it and claiming it and shouting it and demanding it, they're trying to get the Social Security now. You don't get it. You will wait. How much longer, Lord? The Lord may say, 50 years, you're going to wait. And you're going to, right, you stand there for 50 years and be a beacon of righteousness. Nobody hears you. Oh, no. They hear, but they just ain't going to say nothing to you. They hear you, but they ain't going to say nothing to you. Stand there for 50 years. Why me? Because I chose you to stand.
Amen.
I'm not going to give you Social Security and you run around here trying, well, I got to have me some fun. The fun is standing.
Yes, yes.
Just stand there. But they're laughing at me. That's what I want them to do, laugh at you.
Yes. Yes.
Because when they're laughing at you, they're laughing at me. Because I'm standing in you. Man, this is a powerful thing. I look at it. I'm saying, Lord, wait a minute. Wait. How many years I got to be in my garage? What? How many new classes am I going to start? What? Stand. What is it all about? You won't know in this life, John. You never know. You won't know until you get your Social Security. Then I'm going to show you. I'm going to say, John, step forward. I'm going to step forward. He's going to say, turn around. I'm going to show you all your students. And then when the Lord showed me 10,000 people, I can't think because, you know, I'm in heaven. I'm just going, whoa, wait a minute. But I only taught 500. He says, no, you taught 10,000 because they taught more. You stood. See, you don't get no Social Security down here. All he's telling you to do, you're going to do what I told you to do. But everybody else is having fun. He said, fun is not the name of the game here. So he said, now I'm warning you, I'm warning you. How about Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3? I got it in front of me because it's a hard book to find even for me. So let me read it right here. It says, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. I will not delay. See, even if it looks like it's going to be too long for Social Security to pay off, Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 2 and 3, wait for it. Wait for it. Don't get impatient. You know what? I'm going to tell you, you know something. Some people say, John, I'm impatient with what God is doing in Living by the Word Ministries. So what you're saying, it's taking, check this out, it's taking you too long. Who? It's taking you too long. So I got to go and get what I want. I'm going to read it again. For the vision is not yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. In other words, God said, what's going to happen is going to happen. Then he says, though it tarries, in other words, though it looks like it ain't going nowhere, wait on it. Because see, what God is trying to do is pull it together. He says, you ain't ready for it to be fulfilled. And how many folk have you seen jump off into something and weren't ready, and when they got into it, the whole thing blew up in front of their face? Look at verse 8 back at our main text. Verse 8 says, here's another thing that he cautions us to do. Cease from anger. That means forsake it. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. In other words, refuse to become wrathful. And he says, do not fret or do not become angry, for it leads to evil doing. In other words, it leads to mischief. See, when Christians start fretting because they aren't getting paid their Social Security right now, hey, I want mine now. And let me tell you something, you live in America, and everybody in America wants theirs now. I want it now. I want the reward now. I ain't waiting on nothing. I want instant, put it in the microwave, nuke that sucker. 30 seconds, it's mine. It's ready.
Yep.
Now, that's exactly the way they go to God. I want it to happen right now. Nope, doesn't say that. Doesn't say that at all. It speaks of those common practices of people to strive for the best seat in the house. I want the best seat in the house. I want to ride first class in my retirement, and I want it right now. No, you know what God's going to do? He's going to say, I got a seat for you, but it's right in the tail end of the plane. You're right next to the toilet in the back. You're sitting right on the engine. You're going to hear it hum for 3 hours. That's where you are, because all I want you to do is get there. It is not about your comfort. John, you believe that? That's what he's telling me. Now, I don't know what he's telling you. I got to do this. If I get Social Security, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be. You don't get no best seat in no house. That's not the way it happens. Let's move on down to the fifth and last point. Fifth and last point, the common mistake made by those who just won't read the text and accept the rest. verses 9 through 15. Now, in these verses we see here something. I call it the good life of Social Security being compared with those that cheat in the real. Because there's two groups of people in the church. There's the guys that really want to hang in there, or there's the ones that want to cheat in the real. You can't cheat in the real here. You can't do that. I've learned in a very unique way, you can't cheat it in the real. You got to be real with it right up front. In these verses, and I'm just going to show you the comparisons, verses 9 through 15. Just follow along with me. It says, for evildoers will be cut off. Now, that's the comparison. It means they're going to fail. In other words, evildoers are going to fail. Now, look at the comparative contrast for you. But those who wait on the Lord, that means glorious expectation, they will inherit the land. See, he gives us some comparatives here. He says, evildoers are going to be cut off. They're going to fail. But if you wait on your Social Security, it's going to happen. That's a confidence mode. Then he says in verse 10, yet in a little while, the wicked, that means the ungodly, man will be no more. He says, believe me, friends, in a little while, the wicked, and you know what, with God, a day is as with a thousand years, and a thousand years is with a day. God is in no hurry. I've told you people, and I'm going to tell you again, there are no clocks in heaven, no calendars in heaven. God never gets tired. He's never anxious, because with him, it's already happened. So the psalmist says, the wicked will be no more. And now look at the comparison. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. In other words, he says, now what is your role? You're going to look for it, and you're going to say, what happened? See, God is saying, but that's only if you wait on him. But now if you're looking for his place to be like him, then you may find yourself cut off, and then when we're going to be looking for you, in heaven, we're going to look around and say, well, what happened? I thought they were saved. What happened to Ramsey? I don't see him. What happened? Well, he was trying to get that Lincoln. Oh, Lord. Look at verse 11. He says, but the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Now, this does not mean financial prosperity. Please don't. It meant Social Security prosperity in the future. See, and the land that we inherit is heaven. That isn't talking about anything down here. Look at verse 12. The wicked plots against the righteous. In other words, they consider devices against just people. So if you're just and you want what the wicked has, well, then you just a bunch of plotters with them. And then it says, and gnashes at him with his teeth. In other words, wicked people look at the righteous and they really can't stand to be around him. Because they say, well, John, I was talking with a preacher friend of mine. He said, well, you going to get another church? He says, no. I says, I'm going to get a grip and wait and see what God's going to do. He says, well, you know, a pastor without a church is this man like a sheep without a shepherd. Now when I talk with the preacher, he said, how are you doing? I says, faithful in God, teaching. And God is faithful. And then when I tell him about the people that we've had on the radio and how they act in there, I can almost feel the gnashing of the teeth. And then I says, why aren't you doing what I'm doing over there where you are? You see what I mean? And that is the way it is. Whenever you do what God wants you to do, people are going to gnash against you. Get ready for that. Get ready for that. Keep on reading. Look at verse 13. The Lord laughs at him. In other words, when the wicked is gnashing against you, the Lord laughs at him. This is a very interesting verse. Because the verse that I want you to look at that compares with this would be Psalms 2 and 4. So just turn near the first part of the book of Psalms. Because if it says that the Lord laughs at him, look at chapter 2, verse 4. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Friend, when God is laughing at you and scoffing you, see, that's why when the wicked be laughing at me, oh man, you ain't got nothing. Ha, 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 ha. I let them laugh, and I said, what you say? John, look what I got. I'm looking. Uh-huh. Look at how many rooms I got in my church. Yeah. Look at what I'm driving. Nice Lincoln, man. That truck is kicking, jamming, sweating, and everything else, man. They said, John, look where we going to eat. Man, Tiffany's on the beach, and, you know, man, it just don't quit. Look at what I got on. Oh, man, you got on one of them new, easy one of them suits you saw, $500 with the stripes in it and everything. Look at what I got on my feet, $600 gaiters. Oh, man, John, what you got? I've got plenty of nothing, and nothing's got plenty of me. Oh, I got my wife. I got my house. I got security. They're going to laugh at me. Once they laugh, now why is my jaws all tight when they're laughing at me? Flesh. Psalms 2:4 says he that's in heaven is going to scoff at them. Now, it's my responsibility to remember Psalm 2:4 says, preacher, you got your Bible right. Read that aloud. Now, you just laughed at me. I guess who's going to get you in the end? See, I don't even laugh at him. I just kind of snickle along with God and say, well, you know, the Lord, he never lies. Now, that's what he's told me, and that is what I am to be. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. The Lord said, oh, the day is coming. That is why I don't want to be like that. And then, of course, verse 14, the wicked have drawn a sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. So don't worry about it. You will be challenged. Lastly, verse 15 and 16, the sheer foolishness of those that do not fear God. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. In other words, those that laugh at you, cast you down, make you think that you don't have anything, God is going to reverse their weapons, and the weapon, you know, it's going to be like a man shooting a bow and arrow, and he's going to shoot it up. Bam! He's going to do it that way, and that sucker's going to turn around and come right back and hit him in the neck. Oh, man! Take him out. Now, as we come to the conclusion in verse 16. Verse 16 says, better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. I think that that's the saving plan that God has for us to gain our social security. The little of the righteous is better than all of that stuff in the abundance of many wicked. Listen, 20th century Christians, you're in America, like in the next newsletter coming out next quarter, I wrote an article, and I said that America is suffering from a virus, and the virus is called machitis. and you know, this virus has just taken over our lives. Now, what did we learn as we conclude? What not to do in order to gain Social Security. What you must do in order to gain Social Security, the recompense for making arrangements for an early retirement. In other words, you're trying to make an arrangement because you want to get out quick. No, can't do that. The warning while waiting for a seat in first class. And then the common mistakes that a lot of people make while they're waiting on their arrest. I think that we have enough evidence in our lives to help us when we begin to falter. When you, like myself, walking down the street, when you're in the malls, when you're in there, you know you ain't got a dime to your name. And you're going in there and you see all that nice stuff, but you got some plastic. And they'll take plastic. They will take it. Man, I wouldn't buy one of these places. My wife and I said, look at that outfit. I said, Lucy, that is tough, girl. She said, do you want it? Yeah, my heart, I want that. She asking me that. You know I want it. She says, go on and get it. I looked at her and said, girl, we're just going to go right over here and sit on this wooden bench right here and watch those other folk go in there and buy it. And we did. And I sat there and fell asleep, and she hunched me and said, come on, we got to keep walking. She said, what happened? I said, well, I just watched them go in and buy it, and it put me to sleep. See what I mean? Why did not go in there and buy it? Because I didn't need it. Because I have some glad rags. And I have this nice little vest that she made me with her dear hands. I need nothing. because of what verse 6 says. Better is the little of the righteous. See, take the word to heart, Christian, and then your Social Security will be that that's going to pay all of the dividends. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us the sure signs of spiritual Social Security. We thank you that you have spoken to us today and that you have demonstrated to us what true Social Security is all about. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we live on in our Christian lives, that we would never become confused about what the motives of our or the intent of our lives are. Precious Father, we thank you for the words. We would pray that the examples that were used in this message may become ours. May we never look at what the world has. May we always look at what you have for us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.